I'm going to be talking about confidently praying according to the will of God. But before I go there, as we were worshiping, there are two messages that came to me, and I need to share this with us before I go into the actual word so that it will help us. The first thing that came to me is about youth. I don't know who or how many. But this is what the Lord just said to me. He just sort of described like a computer programming. You know, there is something they call the language when you write a program for a computer. And the computer can only respond to the language that is programmed in and not any other thing, no matter how you bash it or, you know, the way you get frustrated if you try to work with computer and it's not just listening to you and you just get frustrated. Now, this is what the Lord is saying. The word that is going to come out today is very relevant because at least there are about three young people here that are seeking what the will of God is for their life. They want to know, they sincerely want to know where God wants to take them, but they have been programmed to respond to one thing, but they are not applying that language. Do we get it? You are actually seeking to know what the will of God is, as in, what do you want me to do, Lord? I know there must be more to life than this. But it's as if the more you are trying to, like, search in the Google to say, what is the next step? He's saying, it's not take, because you are not communicating with your maker. There is something you are programmed to respond to. That is not in place. We're going to be talking a lot about the word of God and the relevance of this word to us. You see, when we live in the word of God, knowing the will of God to us becomes very, very easy because the language that God speaks to us with comes from his word. He said he has given unto us all that pertain to life and godliness. You see, this book, as Moses was speaking to the people of Israel, when he was speaking to them in the book of Deuteronomy, he told them, he said, this thing is not mere thing to you. This book of the law is not like just an ordinary thing to you. It is your life. The book of Psalms say, how can a young man make his way perfect? How can a young man make his way pure? It is only by living. You see, you need to start programming the word of God into you so that when God speaks to you, both of you can communicate. No communication unless you are programmed to speak in the same language. One. Second one. I've not had the time to look at it or look for it in the Bible. It is about some people that believe when they come before God, they can still be speaking the language of faith to God. As in, God is saying, how are you? And you're saying, all is well with me. To God. To God. You still speak like that to God instead of telling him exactly what is wrong with you. Now, what came to mind is the story of that woman. That is what I was actually shown. You know the woman that, I think it was Elisha, the second prophet, the one that had a baby, had a child. When Elisha would normally travel and pass through their house, and at one point they said, oh, we've noticed that this man of God keep passing through our house. Let us prepare for him a bed so that anytime he passes through, he will be able to rest in our house. And then they start resting in the house of this woman. And at one point, the woman said, Elisha said to the woman, what can we do for you? And the woman said, I'm getting old, my husband is, so we have no child. And Elisha prayed for her, and she gave birth to a boy. And in the course of time, the Bible said the boy then fell sick and died. Now, when the boy died, the father was not at home. The mother sent a message to the husband to say, prepare me a horse and a donkey because I need to go and see the man of God. And the husband said, but it is not yet time. Why do you have to go? There is a dead child in the house. The woman said, all is well. To the husband, all is well. And when the chariot came, the donkey and they set out, they travel. As she was approaching where Elisha resided, Geshon, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, and Elisha saw her coming from afar. And he said, is it not that woman coming? The way she's riding, it's as if there is something wrong with her. Hurry up and find out what is wrong with her. And then the servant went to the woman and said, is everything all right with you? And she said, all is well. But when she got to Elisha, the man of God, when she got before the only person that will be able to assist, the presence of God, and when that one said, is everything all right with you? Surprisingly, she didn't say all is well. She said, did I tell you I wanted a child? Did I tell you should give me this child so that you can take it away and then I will have sorrow upon sorrow? The boy is dead. Now, what I want to bring out in this Bible story that I've just shared with you, because you see, the Bible are not just story time and we say it's bedtime story. No, they are written for our instruction so that we might be able to learn from that which is written. If you're outside and anything is wrong with you, you can speak the language of faith. All is well. But when you come here before God, because we're going to come to the point where we're going to pray and we're going to give out prayer points, please do not tell God all is well, because he knows all is not well with you. He knows. So there is no point for you to come before God and he said, what can I do for you? And you say, God, I'm just fine as I am. You're not fine. He knows. He knows everything that is wrong with you. He just wants you to say it out so that trust can be developed in the relationship. Those are the two things I received. So when we get to the time of prayer, because we're going to pray, I will actually give us more time to pray today, because that is what we're here for, to praise and to pray. Please, let us engage with God. This is not the place to put up barriers. Do not shut down. God knows everything that is wrong with you. He just wants you to start talking so that trust is developed. Amen? Amen. Now, where I was actually going is in the book of 1 John. 1 John 5 from verses 14 to 15. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we thank you because you are a faithful God. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege to come and gather here in your name this evening. We just pray that you will speak your word loud and clear. You will minister straight into our hearts. You will speak to us in the language we understand. You will touch us, O God. Holy Spirit divine, we pray that you will just take control of the word that is said here today. Let your name alone be glorified. We pray that no flesh will be glorified in your presence. We pray that the word that will come out will be fire, with spirit. The word will be able to divide asunder into the flesh and the spirit. The word will bring transformation in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. He says, and when, this is the confidence we have in him. This is from the NIV. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. This is the confidence we have. Anytime we approach God and we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. Isn't that very comforting? I think the next question will be, how come I pray some of the time and it looks as if God is not listening? Now, it is asking according to the will of God. I'm sure everybody will want to know the will of God for their lives. You know, when the children of Israel were journeying through the desert, the Bible said that the pillar of fire will stay with them at night, and then they will have the pillar of cloud in the day. And you know that at that time, there was no program. Moses does not have any program of how they're going to journey. You know what they have to rely on? The Bible says when the pillar lifts, they will say, "Arise, O God." And everybody will pack their tents and everybody will start journey. And then anywhere the pillar just stays and doesn't stop, they say, "To your tent, O Israel." Then everybody will put up their tent. And that is the way God guides them through the wilderness period for 40 years. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the pillar of fire and cloud that will sort of tell us when we are supposed to put tents or shut down tents. But we would just want to have that, isn't it? But there is the word of God contains the will of God. There are some general things that is established in the Bible with regards to the will of God. We want to know the will of God with respect to our personal life. Because unlike the nursery rhyme that we studied when we were young, that talks about Solomon Grundy, you know, the one that was born on Sunday, Christian on Tuesday, there is more to life than that. There is more to life for us being born, Christian, married, have children, falling sick, and died. No, there is more to our life than that. We want to know what the will of God is for our life, because when we are actually in the will of God, we have the confidence that anytime we approach God and ask him anything, he hears. And knowing that he hears, he will make it to come to pass. We want to know the will of God for our family, especially those periods when we run into crisis, when it looks as if darkness is falling around. You see, when trouble wants to come to your house, it doesn't send you a notice that you see by tomorrow morning as you go out, you're going to have a flat tire. It doesn't give you notice. Or when you wake up, you know, everybody's going to bed, see you tomorrow, and then in the middle of the night, there's a child clutching the stomach and you don't know what is wrong. They don't give you notice, do they? Now, when things like that happens to us as Christians, even much more frightening things happens to us and darkness closes in. We want to know what the will of God is, because you see, we are spiritual people. The first priority will be for us to look up, establish what is going on, not the last result. Do we get it? I know we tend to panic when things happen. When we receive bad news, we tend to panic. That is not really the time to start finding out, if you know what I mean, because it is whatever that is already inside of us that the Spirit of God will begin to now bring out. It is said of somebody, I don't know whether it's true, we used to hear it when we were in uni, that something happened and said, "I want to know the will of God." And Judas went out and hung himself. No, that's not the one. You go out and do likewise. You don't do that when you are in the middle of a crisis. It doesn't work that way. There is a reason why the scripture says in the book of John 14 that when that spirit comes, he will teach you all things and he will remind you of all things that I have said to you. Do you know why that scripture is there? Because you see, in our journey in life, as we study this word, we take it in. Just keep taking it in. Study the Bible. Keep taking it in. When you hit crisis, what happens is the Spirit of God will bring out what is inside of you and speak that language which will communicate to your spirit man. And once the Lord has spoken, even if the fire is still raging, we have the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. That is how this thing keeps together. Because it's not that we're not going to run through or walk through this particular difficult time. It's just that when we find ourselves in that particular time, when darkness is all around us, because we are so full of the word of God, the Spirit of God will just go in, bring it out. You bring it before you. You remember it. It will speak that word. And because God has spoken, the peace of God that passes all human explanation will guard your heart. He doesn't say the peace will remove the problem. But you will know that this is the will of God with respect to that particular situation. And then, according to the Lord's Prayer, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is the confidence we have when we approach God. You see, we don't go there to beg and say, God, help me, help me, help me, God, help me, help me. Say, what do you want? Help me. Just help me. No, that is not how it works. What do you want? Your word said. You know when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? You know what he uses to reply the devil? It is written. And the devil will come with another and say, and it is also written. Because you see, the word of God is unshakable, it's unmovable. The Bible said, not a jot of it will go without being fulfilled. The word of God is settled in heaven forever. So if the Lord has said it, it will come to pass. That is why it is very, very important for us to get this thing into us. Because as we get it into us, we know what the will of God is with respect to situations. We want to know what the will of God is with respect to nations. We want to know the will of God with respect to our church and with respect to our children. We need to become students of the Bible. Now, how do we study the Bible? We need to be very practical. Because I don't want us to go home and then we then say, oh, we forgot to ask that bit. Now, we are all in this together. You see, I don't know everything that is in this book, right? And I will be lying if I tell you that every day I read a chapter, although that is what I desire, to actually read at least a chapter a day. But at times I come back and I'm so tired. And the only thing I can just get in is one verse. And at times I'm so fantastic. I will study, I will read, and I will read. But guys, you need to find a time that is very good for you to be able to read the Bible. I say read at this stage because when it gets to a point, we will move from reading to studying. Because that is where God actually wanted. You know the difference between reading and studying? Read is just, you just read it through. Whether you understand or not, just keep reading. And it begets that, and it begets that, and then you turn the other page, and it begets that, and then, amen, I've read. God, you see me, I have read the Bible today. That is reading. Studying is, hold on a minute, how does that apply to me? Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart. How? You ponder on it. You take time to think about it. Are we getting it? Now, there is one twist to it. In the book of Romans, it said that the natural man can never understand the things of the scripture. If you are reading the Bible as a natural man, it is just a literature book. It's just like a storybook. The power that is there is not unlocked. You send the lightning with the rain. That's just ordinary letters. But that is not what the Bible is meant to be for us. When Jesus was speaking to the disciples on the way to Emmaus, do you remember that story? After the resurrection, he journeyed with them for a long time. These are disciples, people that have been with Jesus. He was talking to them from Jerusalem to where they were going. They didn't know it was him. He was telling them, they didn't know. You know the only time they know, the Bible says, and when he opened their eyes that they might understand the scripture, then they understand. So when we approach the word of God, anytime we want to read the word of God, I think the first thing we have to pray for is that the Lord will open our understanding so that we understand what we read. It is not a bedtime story. Do not read it when you are tired because you fall asleep. I'm talking from experience. Yeah, especially some book in the Bible like Numbers. Yeah. Now, do not read it when you are tired. It is not like an afterthought. This is your life. It's not something you pick up when you don't have any other thing to do. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You've got to program it in such a way that it's priority. This is important. So you approach the word of God when you are wide awake. When all your senses are wide awake. Now, it's not something to... So you make a cup of tea, you get down, and then you bring out the Guardian. You finish reading that, you bring out the Metro. Then, now, the Bible. No. you approach it with intention and purpose, because they are not ordinary letters. It contains the mind of God. It contains the power to unlock the heavenlies. Because when you speak this word into situations, things do happen. You see, when I got married, I didn't know that myself and my husband, both of us, we carry the sickle cell trait. Now, they are trying to eradicate it in Africa, so they don't allow ASAS to marry each other anymore. In fact, before you go to a girl and say, "Thus saith the Lord," your pastor will say you should go and do your blood test first before you start seeing vision about a sister. Go and do your blood test first, right? So that is how serious it is. But we didn't know, so we got married. And first pregnancy, lost it. Second, lost it. Second, they said, okay, go bring your husband. Brought my husband. And then they discover that both of us are AS. Both of us carry the sickle cell trait. Now, guys, I have masters in biochemistry before I did law, right? So in my head, immediately they say that, I started doing the genotype. If you know the genotype mapping, I started doing the genotype mapping. So, yeah, genotype. So 25% of any pregnancy I have the chance of having a full-blown SS. So for any pregnancy, there is 1/4 that I will have an SS, 1/4 of an AA, and 1/2 of ASAS. Right. They asked us to come in for counseling. They asked us to consider seriously whether we really want to have family. And I look at myself and say, "You don't want to have children." They said, "Oh, this is very serious because, you see, we don't have cure and we don't." I said, "Don't worry." I said, "We'll go to the Lord. What I know is that the angels were not asleep when I say I do to my husband. And they know that both of us are AS." So, I mean, God is in control. What can we do? Right. So when I went to them to say I'm pregnant, they gave me a laminated card. The only thing they didn't do is to print a T-shirt for me to wear and say I am. They gave me a card. They put something everywhere so that everybody will know who I am. They said 24 weeks they will put needle to draw something. I said, "No, don't worry. Don't put needles, yeah? When the child comes out, you can test them." Guys, when I got home, I prayed. Oh. You know the kind of prayer that you pray, that at one point, you won't know whether you are praying with your mouth or with your head or with your, you know that kind of prayer? Because tears has mixed with everything, I prayed. I cried to the Lord. And the Lord gave me his word. He told me that anything that the Lord has done will be perfect. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. The Lord does this so that men may fear him. It's from the book of Ecclesiastes. Whatever the Lord does is perfect. And I know that word was for me. It was very clear in my heart. But you know what? The devil will still come and tell me, "What of?" And I will say the word. I say, "No, whatever the Lord has done, this baby will come out perfect. No SS." I have to do that for 3 pregnancies. The Lord is faithful. It is not because I know how to pray. It is because the Lord has spoken. And when he speaks, the will of the Lord will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I know we are very intelligent people, but this book, you cannot use logic to explain it. This book defies physics. Yeah? You know when the axe head floats? Remember the story? Metal. The axe head is made of metal. Fell into the water. And they cried to Elisha, "We borrowed it, my lord." And they said, "Get me a wood. Drop a wood there, and metal floats." Now, physics will tell you that is impossible. Because number one, wood cannot sink. Yeah? Number two, metals don't float. This book defies logic. If you approach this book with logic, you're not going to get far. If you approach this book with philosophical mind, you know, the one that you try to use to explain everything, this book is more than that. So anytime we pick up this book, the approach is, We are coming to the fountain of life. This is our life. We pray for the Lord to open our eyes to understand that which we read. Because in everything we read in this book, the Lord wants to speak to you. Somebody prayed to me one time and said, oh, we'll pray that you will hear the Lord clearly. And the Holy Spirit smiled inside of me. Do you know why he smiles? If I'm walking very close to you, and I whisper to him, and I'm whispering, she can hear me, yeah? So they move away, and I'm whispering. And then when I say, oh, she say, oh, remote, because she's now far from me. If I am walking this close with the Lord, can I misheard what the Lord is saying to me? No, it's not possible. Can the Lord talk to me like this? And I'll say, God, can you increase the volume? I can't hear you properly. No. The problem is with us. When the Lord speaks through his word, because we are so far away from him, either mentally or spiritually, or we are approaching it from the wrong end, we don't hear. And then we say, God, speak to me. I'm speaking. God, speak to me. And then thunder, I'm speaking. And you say, God, I can't hear. He's speaking to us. He's speaking to us, guys. It's because we need to change the tune. We need to make sure we approach the word of God the correct way. Because once the Lord has spoken, so shall it be. Once you have spoken, twice, I hear that all authority belongs to God. Nothing can change the word of God as it's spoken into your life. We are going to be praying about some areas as the Lord has given me, and one of them is the issue of healing. Guys, healing is not restricted into this book. Please hear me out. The Lord is still in the business of healing people. Can I have an amen? Amen. You know what happened? In this country, we have NHS, right? You can call your doctor. They do all this wonderful thing. Thank God for doctors. But you see, back at home, I was brought up in an environment where we don't have NHS. Oh my God, do we see healing? Because we don't have money to go to the hospital, one. If you go to the hospital, they don't have medicine, two. If you go there, they don't have electricity, three. So what's the point? You go in there and then you get mosquito bites, you know? So it's better you stay at home and you pray it out. And I mean you pray it out. And it does work. The reason why we are so relaxed in this country is that we use prayer as a last resort. You see, when something happened to us, please, I'm not saying you should not call the doctor. Please do that. But you know in your heart that you are going to go to God. Because that's the best way to establish this thing, right? You go to God and find out exactly what is going on. That is what I normally do. If anything happens to me, you see, the first thing is to go and find out what is happening so that I can know the kind of prayer I'm praying. Should I be asking for forgiveness or should I be declaring war? Because it's either it's one of those two. Do you understand? Yeah. Should I be saying, God, forgive me because I've done something and now the devil is able to come in? Or should I draw the battle line and start fighting? You need to know what is going on. You leave the doctor to do whatever they are doing. But you need to know what is going on. And how does the Lord speak to us? It's through his word. But you know, at times when you go through some situation, people hear audible voices. I've only had it twice. It's not one of the way God speaks to me. God speaks to me a lot in vision because I talk a lot. He can only speak when I'm sleeping and I'm not talking. So that is the technique God speaks to me in the dream, because then I'm quiet. So now I have her attention, and then the Lord will talk, right? He does that to me. Because there are some battles or some things that happen to us that God will actually specifically speak. But anything he says will always have their foundation in this word. The Lord will not tell you something that is not written. Young ones looking for who to marry. 2 Corinthians, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. There is no relationship between the temple of God and the temple of idol. It is settled. Do not go to God and say, Pastor, I hear clearly. I know this girl is not born again, but the Lord really speaks. No, he doesn't do that. The Lord will always speak things that is in the word of God. That is settled. Yeah? That is settled. We know that. No Christian, no marriage. Right? Okay. And then there are some things you're going to financial difficulty. You're struggling. The Bible says that I have been young. This is the testimony of somebody. And now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. He said he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There are so many vices. Just study the word. And once you find the Lord, say, yes, the Lord has spoken. What do? You go on your knees. And you pray the will of God down until you see it happen. Don't pray once and say, that's it. I am a man of few words. No, it doesn't happen like that. The Bible says we have to be persistent in prayer. You know when Jesus said that parable about the woman that keep going to the king? He said, give me that which is mine. Give me. The Bible says the king does not respect God or have any fear of man. But because the woman has wearied him. He said, here she comes again. Oh, what does she? Just give it to her. Just give it to her. I don't want her to come. Jesus gave that parable to teach us persistence and perseverance in prayer. So why would you just then pray once or twice and say you are a man of few words? You are going to keep praying until that thing shifts. You keep praying with faith until that thing was shift. So far the Lord has spoken. You stand on that word and you stand on it. We're going to be praying for our church. We're going to be praying for our pastors. I've got some Bible verses I'm going to read out. If the Lord should give you another one, please add to it. But we're going to be praying. And I want us to actively engage in the prayer. I don't want silent prayer. If I want us to do that, I will let us know. Yeah? So the one we are doing now is not the silent one. We want to do the congregational prayer where everybody will pray, right? Don't worry, God doesn't get confused about your voices. He can hear everybody loud and clear, even as you are praying. Yeah, it's just that we need to make sure that we are knocking on the same door at the same time. And the Bible says, when we knock, it will be open unto us. When we seek, we're going to find. Yeah? That is what we're going to be doing. So the reason why we're going to be praying for our pastors, I'm going to explain to us. We have Pastor Ricky, Reverend Jonathan. I'm going to be calling him Reverend until December, and then after December, he goes to Pastor and Pastor Scott. Right. The reason why we're going to be praying for them is this. If you look through the Bible, anytime the children of Israel or any other country goes to war, you know the people they normally target is the king. Because, you know, king will normally go out to war with the people. And they'll be looking out for the chariots of the king because theirs is normally different. And once they are able to get the king, everybody will just disperse. Time and time again, if you read through the Bible, they look out for the king. And once they're able to get the leader, that is it. Everybody will just scatter. Now, they are the leaders of this church. Whatever your opinions or view or whatever at this time with respect to them doesn't really matter. I say that because the Bible says there is, you cannot put this honor upon yourself unless you are called like Aaron. This is not something you put on yourself. They have been called like Aaron. Aaron is the high priest that the Lord actually put in place for the children of Israel, right? Nobody, no man can put this honor upon themselves. They have to be called. They are called to lead this church at this time, right? It will be unwise for us to think we can have peace in our homes if the pastor's house is boiling. That's foolish thinking. Do you get it? Because they bear and carry the vision of this church. And as long as we are part of this particular ministry, we have to make sure that all is well in their houses so that we can enjoy peace. Yeah? So we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray because actually, when the Lord speaks, he normally speaks through the leaders. Yeah? When the Lord gives instruction to the people of Israel, he will speak through Moses. And then Moses will tell the people. At one point, when Moses' siblings, Miriam and the brother, Aaron, when they said, how come he will come and say, the Lord say, we too can hear from God. It's not only him that the Lord say. The Bible says, as they were speaking, the Lord struck them with leprosy. We have to recognize and respect authorities, right? There are hierarchies. There are certain things we don't play with when it comes to the kingdom of God. We respect authority and hierarchies. People that God say, by the way, pastor has not paid me to say this. He's not giving me any money. But it's very important. It's very important because we can't just go about doing our business and we don't care what happened to the pastor. They carry the vision. And because in a battle, the enemy will always look out for the leaders to inflict injuries on them so that we can scatter, we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them because at this particular time, they are the people that the Lord will speak through, and then he will speak through. I know we all hear from God. I know we are very anointed as well. But you know what? The anointing upon which they operate is different from yours. You know why? You don't have pastor in front of your name. Yeah? You just Elizabeth. Yeah? And they are Pastor Scott and Pastor Ricky. So we're going to pray for them. We're going to pray for our homes. Right? That is another place that the devil likes to target. The Bible said the Lord has set solitude in marriages. He set peace and safety in the home. The home is supposed to be a place of safety. It's supposed to be a place where we grow children in the fear and nurture them in the fear of the Lord. The devil would like to attack Christian homes because we are raising armies for the future. That is why. We must not be ignorant of that fact. So when things start happening in the house, you should see the bigger picture. It's because you are doing something that is going to spell danger to the kingdom of the devil, and he will try all means to make sure that he unsettles the house. We're going to pray for healing in this place. I've got so many Bible, I will read it out. Guys, no matter what the doctor has said about your condition, the Lord said he is the one that knitted you whilst you are in the womb of your mother. What it means to knit is that he brings the nerves, the bone together. He puts every single thing together. If anything is wrong with you, I think the best person to be able to give you the best diagnosis is who? Is the person that puts you together. And we believe his report above any other report. I'm not saying we're going to ignore the medical, but we are going to, in this place, ask for healing. Whatever is wrong with you. The book of 1 John says that the Lord, above all things, wish that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. Above all things, we pray that you will be in good health. You know why? It is very important for you to be in good health. We've just talked about knowing the will of God for yourself. If you are not in good health, even if you discover what the will of God is, it then becomes the saying that says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. No, we don't want to do that. We want the spirit to be willing and the flesh to be doing as well. So we have to pray for our health. And then I don't know if we have, I think what we then do is we break into groups so that we can pray for any other needs that I have not covered. Yeah? So can we stand, please? The first thing we're going to do, I want our pastors to stand in three different locations and we are going to surround them. Yes. So we break us into three groups. So pastors, can you? I ask this with all due respect, sir. Break us into the groups and let's pray for you. Yeah? Okay. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to try and surround them. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor, you are too close to Pastor Ricky. I want groups to surround you people. Reverend Jonathan, do you want to go to the back, please, so that people can surround you in the back? Pastor, you go there. Now, can we come out and just form a circle around them? Because we're going to pray for them. Just break into three groups. If you like Reverend Jonathan, go pray for him. If your favorite is Pastor Scott, let's come together. Let's do it quickly. Yeah? I know the youth will gyrate to that end. Yeah. The book of Jeremiah 2 talks about the servants, my servants not asking me what my will is. Let me open it. When the Lord was telling the children of Israelites the issues he has with them, at one point, he says the priests do not ask, where is the Lord? They are not teaching my words. The first thing we are going to pray is that these men will seek the Lord for the will of God with respect to this church. We don't want them to be afraid to declare the whole counsel of God. We want them to be able to speak the mind of God with respect to this church. So let us pray for them that the Lord will make them to seek his will, and they will declare the counsel of God with respect to this church without any fear. Let us pray. Let's pray out loud. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Amen. Amen. Now, guys, I'm very sure we can pray louder than that. I will tell you one thing. Is when we go for night vigil, right? When we start praying for spiritual guidance and for God to fill up with the Spirit, the voices will be low. When we now say, let us begin to bind all the demons, in the name of Jesus, everybody will then wake up and it doesn't work that way. We don't raise our voices when we like the topic for prayer. We pray anyway, right? So we're going to pray for our pastor as they are the vision bearer. They bear the vision for this church. That the Lord will open their eyes, that they will see clearly, and they will hear clearly from God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. In the book of Joshua 1:6-9, Joshua chapter 1, verses 6-9, he talks about be strong and be courageous, because I, the Lord your God, I am with you. Repeated it three times there. This is when Joshua was just elected to lead the children of Israel. Now you're going to declare courage over them. Just declare it over them with authority. We declare courage over you. We declare boldness over you. The Lord will be your encourager. You will not fail. You will not be discouraged. In any way that the devil is trying to stir the water to cause you to be discouraged, we stop that activity right now in the name of Jesus. You see, the Bible says whatever we agree here on earth, it shall be done in heaven. It's a prayer of agreement. We come together as a church and we release this one to be courageous. Yeah? To be bold. The Lord is with them. In any way the devil is stirring the water to cause discouragement, we silence that activity in the name of Jesus. Let us pray for them. Father, Lord, we... Amen. Amen. Now let's pray that the Lord will anoint them with oil. In the book of Psalm, he said, "How good and precious is for brethren to dwell together in unity." He said it is like a precious oil that flows from the head of Aaron down to his face and to his beard. It starts from the head, right? The anointing will come from them and it will flow down, right? So we're going to pray that the Lord will anoint them abundantly with the oil for service. The oil to serve victoriously, that the Lord will anoint them in the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we pray for you. Amen. Amen. Now, we can go back to our seats. We finished praying for our pastor. Now, we're going to be praying for... Let's go to the healing one. If you know you need to be prayed for with respect to any health issue, or you want to stand with respect to somebody that you know with respect to healing, can we have you come out so that the church can pray for you? Exodus 15:26, the Lord will keep you free from every disease. He says, he will not let the disease that happened to the people of Egypt to come upon you, because it is the Lord that heals you. He's your healer. Isaiah made it very clear that Jesus has borne all our sicknesses and pain upon his own body, by whose stripe you are healed. So we're going to pray. Isaiah 38:16 says, "You restored me to health and you let me live." So it talks about restoring health. It talks about healing. It talks about removing from us all those diseases that are peculiar. Now, Egypt normally symbolizes the world. So when they mention those big grammar, you know those diseases, big name, big grammar, the Bible says he will not let any of them come into our own dwelling, because he is the Lord, our healer. Now, the Lord has spoken. It is settled. What we need to do is to pray his will with respect to that down here. And we keep praying until we see it. The Lord is not slack with respect to his promises. The Lord is not unable to do it. Healing is not relegated into the Bible. The Lord is still in the business of healing people. He is still doing it. So we just need to hold on to him and ask him to do it. So I want the rest of us that are very able and fit, amen? Let's rise up and pray for our brethren. Yeah, let's stand up and pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for everybody that is in the front. I want the pastors and the elders to come and pray for you so that they lay hands, because the Bible says in the book of James that if anybody is sick, we should call on the elders. Where are the elders? Now, let's come out. We're going to pray. People will actually lay hands on you and pray for you. And you're going to believe God for healing. The Lord will restore your health and he will let you live. He will not let the diseases that happened to the people in Egypt be your portion, because he is Jehovah Rophaei, the Lord our healer. Amen. We are going to declare the name of Jesus, Jehovah Rophaei. He has exalted that name above every name that is mentioned. He said, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. If you know the name that the medical world has given to your condition, yeah? This is the time to say it. And we lift up the name of Jesus above it. Because the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, that name must bow. It has to happen. It is settled. Yeah? So let us pray. So if you know the name of that condition, tell the person that is praying for you. And it's going to be a prayer of faith. We're just going to pray. We declare healing. We lift up the name of Jesus over you. Jehovah Rophaei. And every other name will bow in the name of Jesus. The Lord will restore your health and you will live in the mighty name of Jesus. So let's start praying. I'm going to come down. Amen. Have we all been prayed for? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, anytime we get home and you just sense that this thing wants to, you feel the symptom of this condition, you're going to declare the word of God. I am healed. You're going to keep saying that. I am healed. Because by the stripe on the body of Christ, I am whole. I am made whole. There was a time, I think it was, something was playing funny with my body. You know, I was having serious pain. I couldn't do my knuckles, and it was really very painful. And anytime it's happening, I would just be saying, The Lord has carried his sickness as if I'm rubbing some. Because one of the names of God is the balm. They call him the balm in Gilead. That is one of the name of Jesus, the balm in Gilead. So I would just say, I take the balm of Gilead and I rub it over my body. You are healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. All my body receives strength in Jesus' name. You've got to do these things, right? Right? It does work. I'm okay now. It's gone. Amen? Now, let's go to our seats. God bless you. Amen. Now, we're going to pray for marriages and our children in particular. I am very passionate in when it comes to praying for our children, because but for the prayer of my mom, I won't be standing here. You see, I was born into a Christian home, but I have a mind of my own, you know. It's because I have so many friends, the bad, the good, and the ugly, and they normally get me into trouble. But I have a praying mom, and she prayed me right. She you see, when it comes to prayer, if you think I can pray, you've not seen my mom. I think I only do 10% of what she is prayerful. And because she is so prayerful, our vision is 2020. I came back from campus one. I was already a Christian, but I went my own way, and I was living in sin in that patch of the period. And I came back home, and immediately I came home, my mom dragged me. She just went like that. She said, "I've not been hitting for the past 7 days. Come here. What have you been doing?" The Lord told me that as you stand right now, you are a vessel of dishonor. I said, "Mom," he said, "keep quiet." The Lord made it very clear to me that at this moment, you are a vessel that is soiled. You are, of course she's right. She said, "The Lord showed me. You don't mess around with my mom because she sees it before you get home. So you are she's waiting for you to come back." That is the way it happens. And because of that, if it works for my mom, it can work for me. You can speak to my children. I pray. I pray for them because I am very passionate as the father, the children that God has given unto me, they are for signs and wonders. You see, the Bible says, as the arrow is in the hands of the mighty, so are these children in the hands of God. If you think they are yours, they are not. They're actually God's. He's giving you for you to raise them up, to be able to stand to challenge the enemy by the gates. We are not raising up doctors and lawyers. That is side issues, if they turn out to be that. That is by the side. We are actually raising the next generation of armies that will stand to challenge the enemy by the gates. You see, when my mom was growing up, they thought the world is really bad, that people are so godless. And then when it was my turn, I thought we've seen everything. Now I'm looking into the future of my children, and I was like, oh my word, how are they going to survive this? And the Holy Spirit said, just give them Jesus. That's all they need. Jesus for their generation. You see, the Lord knows what they're going to do. They have to be sharpened, though. They have to be sharpened. We have to pray for them. If we have any one of them that is not walking in the straight and narrow, even if they are 70, so far you are their parents, the Bible said our children will be taught of the Lord, and great shall be our peace. If my child is doing anything right now that is deriving me of sleep at night, that is not making me to have peace, I, as the mother, I have the mandate to wake up in the middle of the night, yeah, and call that child's name and demand that everyone go and chase him where he is in his sleep, and the Lord should that's what the Bible said. It said they will be taught of the Lord, not by me. The Lord needs to get them into the classroom one way or the other, isn't it? So I'm giving God the authority to do that because I have the parental authority here on earth. So I say, God, I give you the authority, just go and deal with that boy. Because what he's doing now, I'm not happy with it. Go and teach that boy because I want their peace to be great. If a tree is made good, the Bible says the fruit will be good. Do we get that? Because some of us, we come to faith after we've had our children. Does that make sense? Please don't panic. Immediately the Lord declare you as good, your fruit will be good. That is what the Bible says. So far you have been declared good, whatever comes out of you must be good. That is the word of God. So we have the mandate to pray for our children. We are going to pray for them, that for those of them that is not walking in the straight and narrow, that the Lord will find them out. The Lord will speak to them. The Lord will teach them. The Lord will teach them. You know, when he takes somebody to the classroom, he can do anything, like including flogging them. They still flog in heaven. He will chastise them. That is the language they use. He will chastise them. The Lord will chastise them until they come back. Yeah? He knows how to do it. He's not going to destroy them. He does it gently with love. All we want is that we want them to know the Lord. So you mention your children by name and you pray. I give us permission to sit down. If I sense that our voices are going down, I will ask us to stand up so we can sit. We can sit because this is not joking matter. We're going to pray quickly. Let's just pray for our children. That's all our children will know the Lord. They will be battle axes in the house of the Lord. They will serve the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul. Let's start praying. Let's start praying. Even as I talk, just begin to pray it over your children. The Bible says they will be able to stand to challenge the enemy by the gate. These ones will be Jesus chasers. They will love him so much. The Lord will come to become their God, not the God of their parents. They will know him. The Lord will speak to them in the language that they understand. In any way they are programmed, the Lord will speak to them. The Lord will make them to be good. They will come back home. Like the prodigal son, they will come back home. They will come back home. The Lord will fish them out and bring them home in the name of Jesus. Let us pray for marriages, that the Lord will unite our marriage. The Lord will strengthen every marriage that is weak at this particular time. Jesus was invited to the marriage in the Cana of Galilee. The wine was running out, but Jesus provided fresh wine. Let's pray for fresh wine in our wedding, that the Lord will provide fresh wine. The Lord will release fresh love, the agape love of God. The Lord will strengthen every failing marriages in the name of Jesus. Everywhere there is miscommunication, everywhere that there is discord, we ask for the unity of God. Jesus himself will piece this marriage back together in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed, amen. Let's pray for the weekend away. Last prayer. Let's pray that the power of God will move. Let's pray. Let's pray for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Let us pray that the Spirit of the Lord will take over this program and the power of God will move. Let's just pray. Let's pray.
Keep praying. Well, I'm going to get you to stand up. Keep praying. Father God. Amen. Amen. Amen, church. It's good to gather this evening. We're gonna finish now with a song, and we knew nothing about what Elizabeth was going to do tonight, but for those who prayed for myself and Ricky, for Jonathan, from all three of us, we just appreciate what you've done for us tonight. We thank you for doing that for us. Just want to say something. A while ago, the elders, we were called, so all the elders, we were called by somebody in our church to go and pray, to go and to anoint them with oil. They were told that they were sick. They told them that they had a big mass. All the scan showed it. And we went and we prayed. We anointed oil and we prayed. And we anointed oil and we prayed. And we anointed oil and we prayed. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And God brought restoration in that person's life, and in due time they'll stand here, I'm sure, and testify to God's glory. and to God's sovereignty in that situation. So I want to say to you tonight, you know what, we get involved in lots of stuff. Often not always the best stuff. But if any of you here tonight need the elders to come, not, it's not in our power, it's not in our authority, it's in the power and the authority that God has given to us. Okay, we would come, and we'd come to your house, we'd pray, and we'd anoint oil, and we'll ask God to do a new work. We're in somebody's house just a year ago in this church, where every time they went upstairs and laid in their bed and went to sleep, and the devil just churned at their head all night long and told them that they were unworthy, told them that the best thing they could do is commit suicide, the best thing they could do is take their life. We went to that house. We went into the bedroom of that house and we prayed the devil out. And God went. You see, spiritual attack needs to be responded with the spiritual armor of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so, you know, what I want to say on behalf of all of us, I'm sure, that, you know, we're here. We'd love to just pray. You know, don't write us emails. Just call us up and tell us we need you to come and do some serious business. We need you to do it in our house. And the day is tomorrow. And let me tell you, from this place, we'll cancel everything. And we'll be there. And we'll pray. And in the faith that God gives us, and the authority that God has called us to have, we are... God's given us that authority. We'll claim it for Jesus, and we'll ask God to do a new work in your life. And it's not something that we look for. I think myself and Jonathan, Ricky, and some of the elders, we'd love to sometimes just do something completely different. But it's what God's called us to. So we're going to sing a song to finish tonight. Thank you, Elizabeth, for sharing with us. And I encourage you next Saturday. We're going to pray as well. But you know what? This is a song. My staff team have been winding me up lately. Which I'm very grateful to every single one of them. But they used to say there's a song I kept singing, which was, what was my favourite song? Do you know it? It was, in my father's house, there's a place for me. And I was singing it for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they kept ribbing me about it. But just to declare, guys, this is my new song in the last couple of weeks for me personally and for my family and for my children and for my wife. Christ is enough for me. That's my new song. Because I'm in a new season, and Christ is enough for me, and Christ is enough for you. And so let's stand up, if we're able to. Let's sing this song as a promise of a declaration of faith as we go, that no matter what happens, we're going to pray it out, we're going to call upon the name of Jesus, and Christ is enough. Do you believe that Christ is enough? Do you? Come on. Do you believe it? Come on. Be a bit Pentecostal for a minute. Do you believe that Christ is enough? There's nothing that can happen to any of us in this place tonight. There's nothing that can happen to us if we just keep close to Jesus. Christ is enough. So let's sing this as a declaration. Let's sing this as a song of praise. Let's sing this as a song of purpose. And let's sing this as a song of faith that Christ is enough. And we're going to go out from here tonight with the prayers that we've already prayed and the prayers that we're going to pray, and we're going to see God's kingdom come. I'm praying for next Sunday morning, like this morning, 22 people in church this morning that never came to church before. I'm praying for that next Sunday. And I'm praying that when Gavin speaks next Sunday, I'm praying that the kingdom of God will come down and lives will be changed forever. Okay? So let's be praying those prayers this week, you know? And let's sing the song, Christ is Enough. Go on, take it away.
turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. Cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. For Christ is enough for me.
Words be true.